Om Shanti, and good evening to everyone, and a big welcome to Jayanti Ben. Perhaps we should be saying Jayanti Didi by now. Jayanti Ben, Jayanti Didi has come to us with many qualities that she's developed over the years. She has so many titles that it's best for you to Google her. But in this last year, she became the assistant administrative head of the Brahma Kumaris. She has worked tirelessly in the UK and Europe and established centers in other parts of the world. And she has represented us at interfaith conferences and on environmental issues, where she has really brought to the attention of those who attend that the human mind has a huge impact on climate. What has enabled her to have so many titles that it would take time to repeat them all? She came to Gyan at the age of 19. It's a nice story. She, at the age of 8, went to live in London, and in the 60s was quite attracted to the glamour of the exciting 60s in London. But she came to Pune at the age of 19, met Mama, and although she had resisted spirituality, became attracted and took up Mama's advice to come and meet Brahma Baba, which she did. And since then, her life has been one of dedication, discipline, commitment, which we all appreciate so much. And if I have to say it in a few words, I'd say you're a balance of love and law and sweetness and gentleness, as well as authority. So welcome.
Om Shanti. Thank you, Shona, for the sweet introduction. I think everybody in the world agrees, not just in the Brahmin family, but literally across the world, everyone is very aware of how uncertain times are, especially this year. Every year has been more and more of this growing and growing, but in the last 2 weeks especially, with things being very, very uncertain in parts of the world that we didn't really expect things would suddenly explode, things are exploding, literally, physically, but also across the world, not just the impact of that particular situation, but COVID, the attempts to try and recover the economy after COVID, and now a fourth wave of COVID coming, things just seem to be blowing up. And of course, climate change is now no more anything that anyone can deny, but it's a reality of life. It's interesting being in Shantivan, because when I used to stay upstairs and go downstairs, I would always look at the temperature, and I think it's above Dadiji's cottage that they have this temperature scale there. And usually around this time of year, in March, the temperature would be in the late 20s. But even at the end of February, I saw that it already reached 32 Celsius. Now, if at the end of February it's 32 Celsius, and you think about what it'll be like as the temperature continues to grow higher and higher, what will it be like for people who don't have shelter in May and even June until whatever the monsoon decides to come? all of us are lucky we have shelter. And not just shelter, we have fans, we have sometimes air conditioning. And so it's okay, we can manage, we can survive. But what happens if there's no electricity? You can have all the devices, you can have the fans, you can have the air conditioners, and life will still be very uncomfortable. But that's just here in India. Everywhere else in the world also, something or another going on, going on, going on. So what is it that I have to learn to be certain about? And I think first and foremost for all of us, we are here because we love Baba. We are here because we know that Baba is the truth. And we know that Baba is benevolent. And we know that whatever is to happen within the drama is actually benevolent. What we don't know is how long this period of uncertainty is going to last. And Baba's magic mantra is something that I have to remind myself of regularly. Don't be date conscious, be soul conscious. And so that sweet reminder stays with me. And I don't know how long this period of uncertainty is going to carry on for. But I do know that Baba is with us till the end of the kalpa. And Baba's going to take us home with himself. That is absolutely for certain. And I think this is what makes us smile, even though we see all the distressing things that are going on around the world. We don't lose our courage, we don't lose our smiles. We know that it's that period which is of upheaval that's going to open the doors to be able to go home to Mukti and then to Jivan Mukti also. And so even if things on an external level look very grim, yet we know, we're absolutely certain that God has a plan, and it's actually God's plan that is unfolding. And God has revealed many, many secrets, but God hasn't given us detailed information about what's going to happen tomorrow. We know the whole drama, but we don't know exactly what tomorrow is going to bring. And for that, Baba says, you have to prepare yourself so that you're certain that whatever upheaval comes, you don't lose your connection with Baba, you don't lose your faith, you don't lose your certainty that through all of this, it'll be time to go home and time to come to heaven again. So, absolutely the starting point for our faith is our faith in Baba. I remember early days when we still didn't have Western students in London. We had a small group of people who were Bharatvasis, who'd taken Gyan in Bharat, and then for Laukik reasons, jobs and families and business, had travelled abroad and had settled in London. So when the first student who actually seemed to understand Baba's Gyan and was following all the Brahmin disciplines and was coming to Murli every day, when I had a chance to talk to this person, I said, how do you believe that the cycle is 5,000 years? And his answer was, because Baba says so. And basically that's what we would also say, because you try and prove scientifically that the cycle is 5,000 years old, that the cycle repeats, and I certainly haven't come across anyone who's been able to explain all of that absolutely correctly in scientific terms. Some people have thought that they can explain it scientifically, but then when other scientists read their documents, they say, well, not quite scientific enough. And so what is it that gives us faith? It's our love for Baba, it's our faith in Baba, and something within the soul that says, yes, it all does make sense, it all does fit together. And I wouldn't have been able to explain it like this, but now that I've heard Baba explain it to me, I'll say, yes, of course, it makes sense. But just like with the soul, you know, no matter how much people say that there is scientific evidence of the soul, if you talk to scientists out there, they don't accept that it's scientific. And so it comes down to the self. Do I experience, I, the living being, this energy detached from the body that is everything that I am? And this is why Baba says, keep practicing soul consciousness, because the world outside will not tell you anything about the soul. You have to experience it and listen to Baba alone. And then you'll say, yes, I know I am a soul. And this is also why Baba always uses this word faith. Have the faith that you are a soul. And so in that awareness of soul consciousness, in that awareness of absolute faith that this is what Baba is telling me, then I know that for certain all this upheaval is simply a preparation for the end of Kali Yuga and the beginning of Satyuga. When things seem to be very bad, very dark, and people say to me, well, why is this happening? It shouldn't be happening like this. And sometimes it's things within the Brahmin family, and sometimes it's things going on outside in the world. And they say, why is this happening? And I have an answer for them. I say, Baba told us, it's the end of Kali Yuga. And so expect that such things are going to happen. Expect that it's time for all Brahmins to settle all their karma and all the accounts that they've accumulated for 63 births. It's all happening now. And so through all of this, what is absolutely certain is that Baba is going to take us home. I know that there were many questions about the little scenario that happened on March the 11th. Who was there in Diamond Hall on March the 11th when Bhog was offered to Baba? About half, I reckon. Okay, thank you. And I'm sure if you were asked individually, personally, some of you would say, yes, definitely, that was Vadi Gulzar. And the other half would say, well, I'm not quite sure. And both sounds come up. But what I felt was that, yes, it was absolutely Vadi Gulzar's Srishti. Very steady, very calm, very focused, concentrated, very cool. And so I would feel that, yes, I was taking Drishti from Dadi Gulzar. And later on, as I began to meet several groups from India and a couple of small groups from abroad, but mostly big groups from India, and I was seeing that many of them hadn't had the opportunity of meeting Avyakt Bhat Dada, and I don't mean personally or in groups on the stage. I mean actually witnessing Baba come in a gathering rather than watching a video transmission. So they'd never met, seen Avyakt Bhat Dada actually come into the gathering. They'd never met Dadi Gulzar, of course, and most of them had only seen Dadi Janki from a distance, because even when she had gatherings in Shakti Bhavan, it would be 80 or 100 people, and even if they came to take toli from Dadi, it would be very swift. It wouldn't be long drishti or anything like that. So I was thinking that why Baba made that little scenario take place, and trance doesn't happen just by itself. Trance happens when Baba pulls the strings. And again, getting that feeling of the presence of another being in a human chariot, that doesn't happen just by itself. But yes, it's drama, but in this particular case, it's very, very definitely Baba's intervention. And what I mean is that where we've got used to, and people, most of us have witnessed, who has never seen Baba actually coming in Madhuban? Anyone? A few. Okay, so I felt that, especially for those who've never witnessed anything like this, Baba was creating this intervention to be able to give them an experience, but also, in a way, it was evidence that Baba's in charge of whatever is happening within the drama, and Baba is giving us a very powerful signal that he's definitely around and with us and will be with us till we go home. After that, he'll send us down into Satyug. He doesn't have to think about us. We definitely don't think about him. But he's also carefree that we're fine and we're happy and we're content. And so that certainty that Baba is in charge, and Baba is the one who has revealed all the secrets of the drama to us, and that certainty that after this period of darkness, it'll be time to go home to the light, and it'll be time to come back again into the day. And so for us, that sense of being in the dark, of being lost, of being confused, you know, if you're in a strange place and you don't know your bearings, you're not quite sure of them, and there's no electricity, or you're awake in the middle of the night and you don't know where the light switch is, it's very easy to stumble. You don't know exactly where the furniture is located. You think you know, but the door's not actually in the place where you thought it would be. And then you finally find the light and you realize that the door was there and you were headed here. And so no wonder you couldn't find the door. And so even in a very small room where you think you know where everything is, but it's a new place and you haven't acclimatized to it, you're not totally aware, it's so easy to stumble. It's so easy to hurt yourself, knocking yourself against furniture or whatever. And so in a world that's full of untruth, it's not just dark, but it's evil. And it's also very, very false and deceptive. How many Babas are there around at the moment? I'm told that there's many. And I'm not talking about the real Baba who comes in Madhuban and comes in Dadi Gulzar. I'm talking about all these video clips that are floating around, and someone's in Delhi, someone's in Kanpur, someone's in the south. There's many Babas floating. And it's very easy to get confused. But what keeps me steady and stable and anchored and grounded is the fact that I know Baba comes in Madhuban. Baba told us he would only come in Madhuban. Baba comes in Dadi Gulzar. Baba told us that he would come in a fixed chariot. And that was the fixed chariot. I know that Baba spoke the Murali, of course, through Dadi Gulzar later on, but earlier on, Baba would only speak the Murali through Brahma Baba. Although we call the Murali through Mama a Murali to make it separate to all the other classes that are going on. So Mama's Murali is called that, it's the Murali. But of course, you've been hearing Mama's Muralis now over the last few years. We only started to do that quite recently. Until then, we weren't being exposed to Mama's Muralis except once a year for June the 24th, her day. But in recent times, we've had little extracts of Mama's Murali. And as you hear Mama's Murali, you can see that it's quite distinctly different to Baba's Murali. Mama will pick up one subject and Mama will talk in detail about that one subject, but she'll always be referring to Shiv Baba. The Shiv Baba has taught us this, this and this. Baba's Murali through Brahma Baba, Bab Dada speaking. Now, these are the certainties that we have. We know all these things for sure. And if I hold on to these things, then I'm never going to be confused. Then all I need to do is, if I have a question, probably the next day, Baba's Murali is going to give me an answer. Or Baba will find an instrument through whom something is said that will also give me an answer. And so I'm absolutely sure that Baba's plan is such that Baba gives us signals from time to time in a very specific way, whether personally through my own question and the answer reaching me through a Murali, or whether it's like happened the other day, Baba intervening to tell us, yes, I'm around, I can create magic, I can give you an experience that you weren't expecting. And so, for us, there's no question. It's all very, very clear and uncertain. We're very close to the point where suddenly things will just simply fly around and God's message will have been given to the world and we'll be able to go home. I heard something very interesting just before coming here, and I'm sure that those from Africa will let you know more about it as time goes on. But it was a very lovely plan of, you know, how Serve Africa became such an amazing project and literally was able to serve the whole continent within the space of a few years. Well, now the project that's on the cooker and it's going to come to the boil and be revealed in a little while. But it's about using media to give Baba's message across the whole of Africa. And yes, when they started Serve Africa, there were not so many hands and resources. And today, yes, there's the resources, there's the hands, there's the experience, there's the expertise, many good connections. So it'll happen. It's an opportunity for each one at the moment, now not just Africa, but everywhere, to use their time, their skills, their resources, their energy, to be able to still create their own fortune. And there's still time for Baba's children to catch up on lost time. If I came to Baba many years ago and I feel that I didn't do what I needed to do, well, all the Muralis are giving me a signal. You can still do a lot more. You can still catch up. You can still focus. And I love this expression Baba used the other day about the signal or the sign of Brahman life is constantly to practice and constantly to have attention. attention and practice, practice and attention. And so if I just take up those two words, yes, I can reach my goal of being karmatit very, very fast. And so let me keep those two words in mind, but also the other slogan is that of lifelong learning. People started to use this just a few years ago, but Baba taught us this like 80 years ago, that till your dying day, you have to learn. Till your dying day, you're a student. And the Dadis absolutely demonstrated this. And so, if I'm to be certain that yes, I'm going to go home with Baba, not in the procession, following behind, trailing along, but actually as one of Baba's brides, going home with the bridegroom. Do the brothers have that feeling that they are Baba's brides? I'm not seeing any signal. Someone is saying no. Definitely no. Well, that's great honesty. But some are signaling yes, and some are not quite sure. Do I need to ask the sisters this question? I think it's actually very, very easy for all of the sisters to say, yes, we are Baba's brides, right? Yes? Yes. So, difference between being Baba's bride and going home with Baba, the bridegroom, to this word is translated as mosquitoes by some people and as insects by other people. Machar, Gujarati translation of that is mosquito, and general Hindi translation of that is insect. But I don't want to be an insect or a mosquito following behind, trailing behind. And so am I certain I'm going home with Baba? That's Baba's invitation to us. And if I'm certain that I'm going to go home with Baba, I'm also then very certain that I'm going to come down into Satyug. And I have no question about that at all. I don't need to think about what will I be in Satyug. I need to make the effort and then I'll get that feeling. But at the moment, just to be certain that yes, you're going to go home and then come down again very, very soon. And so when I see things of uncertainty here, it's that faith and that certainty of the things I do know that enables me to step up above and watch the scenes of the drama go on here. It becomes easier and easier to do this the more you practice it, which is why Baba was saying, keep practicing. If I haven't practiced this, then when something happens, it doesn't matter how much I say to myself, it's drama, it's drama, it's sweet drama, it's benevolent drama, it doesn't quite work. But if I've practiced it, then I don't even need to repeat these phrases to myself. Then I know drama is benevolent. Let me be up above and have the courage and the power to see whatever it is that's going on. Physically I'm here, which means that others are watching my face, others are watching my behavior, and Baba's children are under surveillance all the time. Have you noticed that? Yes, I'm sure you have. If you're in your Laukik home, then yes, they're watching you because you say you're a Raj Yogi. And they'll expect a certain stage and certain demeanor and behavior from you. And if you don't follow that, they are your biggest teachers. They'll say, what happened? Laukik work, again, even if they don't use the terms Brahma Kumaris or Raj Yoga, they know that you meditate by now. I'm sure they do, wherever it is you serve. So, again, they're watching you. And if you live in a center, you don't know how many pairs of eyes are watching you. Not only those you live with, but those who come to the center. You're on stage. Somebody called it being in a goldfish bowl. Everybody watching you. But that's okay. Mama told Daddy Janki way back around 1964. That's a long time ago. Most of you were in different bodies at that time. And at that time, Daddy was in Pune. Mama was visiting Pune. And Daddy asked Mama, can you give me a mantra that I need to work on? And Mama said to her, remember, Janak, the world is watching you. Was Mama an astrologer? No, she wasn't. But Mama was Gyani and Yogi and knew that, yes, at that moment even, the Brahmin world was watching, but the Laukik world was also watching, definitely. Even though it was a little center, not much happening. But the world is watching you. And so, what that means is that uncertainty for everybody else, but my certainty and my stability is going to be reminding them that it's possible to be fearless, it's possible to have courage, it's possible not to have upheaval. And that'll give them inspiration and hope. And maybe some of them will then say, you know, you used to tell me about meditation. Well, tell me some more. That will be the time when they will want to know what is it that you're doing. And so God's messengers spread out across the world. And I used to think, and I remember discussing it with Daddy Janki, and this is when Daddy, early days in London, and around 75, 76 at that time, I said to Daddy, because Daddy hadn't gone back to India for a couple of years by then, and she never said she missed Madhuban. She said, Baba's with me there. And then I said, Daddy, do you not have the thought that in the final moments, and I didn't know at that time that the final moments were still decades and decades and decades away, but do you not have the thought that in the final moments you have to be in Madhuban? And she looked at me and said, is that your thought? I said, yes, Daddy. And she said, no, I'm content to be wherever it is Baba puts me. And then 84, 85, it was late, but Baba was happy to be meeting his children from abroad, and we were all on the stage. Baba had called the teachers on the stage, early days in Om Shanti Bhavan, and Baba says, ask questions. And somebody asks Baba, will you call us at the end so that we're here in Madhuban and we catch the last flight to Madhuban? And Baba gave drishti, and then Baba said, maybe Charlie, you were there that time, probably. I remember distinctly some of the questions that were asked of Baba and Baba's answers. And so Baba said, do you remember that in your scriptures it says that there would be people dressed in white coming down the mountains, bringing you God's message and a message of hope and love? And you could see the bulbs shining in the eyes of those who had been studying Christianity, and there were a few within that gathering at that moment, people who knew the Bible deeply, and they nodded their heads. And then Baba said, "Why do you think there are the memorials of angels in all your countries, in all your cities?" "Yes, some will come to Madhuban, but many of you will be there where you are needed to be able to share Baba's message with everyone." And the message isn't a message in words, "God has come." But the message is the message of love, the message of hope, the message of trust, of faith, that yes, God is here. And God has come to take us home. And so, Dadi had started me thinking already about not being attached to Madhuban. And then, of course, Baba's response some years later absolutely underlined that for me. And now I think, you know, where will Dadi be? She's in another body, all the Dadis. And so her answer was spot on. "Wherever I am, I'll be with Baba." And so yes, at that moment, in the final moments, that soul will connect with Baba and all the advanced party, all of them connecting with Baba. And Baba's going to be with them. So, wherever it is I am, I have to make sure that I am with Baba, but also whoever else is around, I'm around to give them stability and courage and strength. And so, what's happening with me today? I see a spider and I scream. Is that what's happening? I know that for sisters, spiders are a big deal. But brothers, I know in some places they hear a sound and they think it's a gunshot. I remember being in Karachi and suddenly you'd hear these sounds and you'd have the question in your mind, is it a gunshot? Because it was fairly frequent. And maybe it wasn't, maybe it was something else. But the first thought is that what it is? Is it a bomb that's dropping? Well, whatever it is, can I just keep my connection with Baba? And so that attention today, what is it that's distracting me? What is it that I'm still afraid of? Somebody was asking me the other day, I ask myself, what is easier? Is it easier to drown, or is it easier just to lose oxygen and be buried in rubble in an earthquake? I said, no, you don't have to think about things like that. You just have to think about connecting with Baba. Then whether the soul is here, whether... Okay, drama. Who remembered Baba? So there'll be sudden sounds, there'll be sudden things happening. But the practice, the attention and the practice, just to be with Baba. And if I can identify whatever are my fears today and just simply carry out an experiment inside, what if there is this huge wave of water coming at me and I can't run anywhere? Can I go to Baba? Practice. And you'll stop being afraid of big waves coming at you. So, jnana is to be able to recognize the maya that may come to me before it actually comes to me. You know, and Baba says, you should be able to recognize Maya from a distance so that you're able to invoke the power that you need to deal with the situation before that situation comes. And so I think this is what it means, being able to identify whatever are my fears. When it comes to attachments, it's something that Baba's also often talked about, that recognize where are your biggest attachments. And now I'm talking about people. And I'm talking about whether it's laukik or whether it's alaukik. I know that for many of us, our biggest attachments were to the dadis and drama, and it's happened, and we're still alive, and we're still Brahmins, and we're still managing, and we're still able to carry on, service is still continuing. And so it was like with Sakar Baba. They never ever imagined that the yajna could continue without Baba. It happened, and it continued. And for myself, I never imagined, literally I didn't imagine, that the yajna could continue without the dadis. Which was, I look back and I think that was rather unreasonable, wasn't it? Because the dadis were already in their 90s, some of them, and today Dadi Ratan Moini is going to be celebrating her 98th birthday. On the 25th of March, we're going to be honoring Dadi Ratan Moini, 98 years young. And so it was very unreasonable for me to think that Dadi Janki is going to be with us till the end of the kalpa. But it was my thought. But of course, then as time went on, and then by the time Daddy was 103, by the time Daddy was 103, it was clear that the end of the kalpa might not come so soon. So, but today, where are my attachments? And if my attachment is to service, well, that's going to be a big problem anyway. Because there's going to be a time when, like COVID came, for a little while, external service came to a standstill. And then we all discovered online, Zoom, and all sorts of platforms. And service intensified. But Baba's warned us that there'll come a time you won't be able to go out, but there's going to come a time when all these gadgets and devices, none of these things are going to work anymore. What's going to be my stage at that moment? Me alone with myself, or me alone with the ones I have the most karma with, the Brahmins at my center, or in my home, or in my bhavan? Those are the Brahmins I have the most karma with, right? So it's going to be me and them. And if I don't bring Baba absolutely center stage at that moment, it's going to be a very uncomfortable situation. And so the checking today, have I settled karma with those around me? And where I feel that there's still a bit of friction, is it possible for me to settle it as soon as possible with yoga power? Yes, it's possible, if I give it that focus and attention. Is it possible for me to have a conversation with them? More difficult, but possible. But at least then I can clear things and apologize for what it is I have done, but also maybe express whatever it is I need to express to get myself completely clear and clean. But whatever it is, to think about settling my karma before it's too late. You know, one thing was to make sure that we're not adding to our karma because we're trying to settle. But now at this point, I don't think anybody's creating more karma or adding to their karma. I think everybody's very, very aware that it's really time for settlement, but in a conscious way, to actually do a scan, 360 degree scan. Where is it that I've still got karma that still remains? And can I settle that karma? Because that's also going to help me have that stability and strength and be totally certain about what my future holds. Baba says how at the end, whatever it is that's unsettled is going to be pulling you. It's not just my attachments that will pull me at the end. It'll be whatever it is that's not yet settled. And so, to clear things in however much time remains, and if I've cleared things and I've still got a lot of time before the end, wonderful. Then it's just more accumulation of good karma, good karma, good karma, good fortune. But if I can settle, this is now that time. Then I can be completely stable in knowing that I'll go home with Baba, knowing that I'll come home, I'll come from my home very quickly with Brahma Baba. Shiv Baba will be left behind, but he'll enjoy his retirement period and we'll be down here with Brahma Baba. A very powerful thought that Baba shared with Daddy Janki that I hope is also a blessing for all of us who've been hearing Baba's muralis and so on. When Daddy came back from London after 4 years of not having come to Madhuban, so this would have been April 78, Sudesh Ben also, she came back after 4 years having been away. And Baba specially came to meet them. The season was over, but Baba specially came to meet them. And beautiful blessings for both. But one particular sentence that Baba said to Daddy Janki, "You've been with Baba through all your 84 births. When Baba became worship worthy, you became worship worthy also. When Baba became a worshipper, you became worshipper too. So you've been through the whole cycle with Brahma Baba." And I think it must have really, really warmed her heart. Can you imagine Baba saying that to you? But also, I'd like to think that it applies to all of us, that we also have been with Brahma Baba through the whole cycle. And so if this is, I don't say this is my aim in a sense, but it's some of the things, it's one of the treasures that I keep in my heart that, yes, that would be very, very beautiful. And so, yes, to go home with Shiv Baba, definitely, but also to come into heaven very quickly soon with Brahma Baba. And so that certainty is what's going to help us get through all this upheaval. When we've been at the climate change conferences, we've seen the narrative change over the 12 years that we've been going. People in 2009 were surprised to hear about consciousness and climate change, but gradually over the years, especially from around 2014, I remember the year because just before Paris, then people started to make note that people of faith have a very powerful contribution to make. And then in 2015, it was very clear that people of faith were being welcomed onto the platforms of people who were just really activists in environment. Earlier they would reject us, but by then they had come to welcome us. And so that happened. But more and more they ask us the question, how can people of faith contribute? And earlier we talked about resilience, we talked about hope, and now they're talking about climate anxiety. That's a very specific term that they're using. And now they're talking about climate emergency, not climate crisis anymore, climate emergency. And through all of that, we ask ourselves the question within our group, why are we here? What is it that we can offer? And this is going to be global. It's not just somewhere, someplace, it's global. And so, yes, we offer hope for the future, but also we offer that conviction that there's something better ahead. Not just hope that there's something better ahead, but conviction that, yes, things can be better. Yes, there'll be upheaval, but beyond the upheaval, there are things going to be better. And so, if I'm absolutely stable in terms of my understanding of Gyan and what this period of Sangam Yuga and this transition is about, I have no more questions about why, what, when, how, if, but. And that certainty is what's going to help everybody around. And so Baba has children all over the world so that every person all over the world can take benefit. And so for each one of us to leave Madhuban this year with that absolute strength and stability that nothing can shake us. What the Lokiks say, no. What Brahmins say, it's okay. What is it I am taking away from Madhuban? And I have to say that I feel that this group is, each one of the groups that I've been seeing, it's a very lucky group, because pre-COVID, and this hall would be full, 800, 900 double foreigners. And on the one side, people were happy to see the expansion, but on the other side, they'd say, there's so many people. And now, according to drama, literally it's like early days within such a big campus, such a small number. So you're lucky. You're all very lucky. Om Shanti.